good to see you. It's good to hear you fellowshipping this morning. There have been few times when I've been as excited as I am about sharing with you the message, the truth, the biblical truth. I think it is as practical and as relevant to anything I've preached in a long time, to where we live right now today. So many people just want some peace. Just some peace. And I want to talk with you about that this morning, because we live in a time when that is a rare commodity. When I say the trust fall, it matters immensely where you place your trust. Right? I mean, it matters immensely where you place your trust. We've been talking about some things, and this morning I just want to share with you from my heart. We talked a couple of weeks ago about being centered, a life designed with Jesus at the center. We talked about that, and when we reorient ourselves to Him, how that we find balance, and when we do, we can hear and we can see, and we talked about that. We talked last week about first place, whatever is preeminent in our lives, whatever's preeminent in our lives, that defines us, doesn't it? That defines us. And so to live a blue-ribbon life, we have to give Christ first place. He has to be top in rank, that is in authority, and in influence in our lives. And we talked about that, how that frees us. If center brings balance and first place brings freedom, then is there some more that this passage in Colossians has to say to us? And I think there is. And this morning, I want to talk with you about a subject I've entitled Covered. Covered. Remember in Colossae, the letter to Colossians was written to, there was, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but you remember, it's in that church, in that city, things had gotten real confusing. The mystical religions, the Greco-Roman attitude toward life, the exalting of human wisdom and human knowledge above the knowledge of God had really begun to take an impact, and some were turning from their Christian life. They were turning aside, but more than that, they were at the base of what was going on is they were trading their trust. They were trading their trust. They were trading their faith. They were trusting in things other than Christ. In fact, that's the whole purpose of this letter. The whole purpose of this letter was to let them know that Christ is the answer to the political and the social and the economic and the religious and the cultural pressure of the day. And some of them have begun to give up, and others have begun to give in. And Paul points to Christ, said, Christ is supreme. Christ is the center. Christ is first place, and Christ has you covered. Let's look at it. Colossians 1, verse 15. Let's read it again together. He is, that is Christ. Now remember now, Paul's pointing to the supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, and visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and here's the verse I want us to center in on today, and in Him all things hold together. In Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. I have a question for you this morning. Do you really believe that in Him all things hold together? There's several parts of this. In Him. That's part of it, right? And then the other part of it is all things. In Him, all things hold together. Let's talk about that a little bit. A couple of three questions I want to... What does that mean? How does it translate into our life? And how do we get there? And then I'm going to end with a very familiar Bible story, but I want to bring out something that I think will help us assimilate this truth this morning. What does it mean, in Him, all things hold together? That phrase... hold together, or all things hold together, is actually a compound word. The phrase hold together is a compound word. It comes from two words. One means together, and the other means stand. Together, stand. Together, stand. Stand together. That in Him all things stand. But when you are in Him, you are standing with Him. And in Him all things hold together. It's a word that has a broad meaning. The specific meaning comes from the context. And in the context of this passage, in the context of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, two English words are used. And they're used intermittently, depending on what version of the Bible that you're reading. They have basically the same meaning, but it's two different English words, and they both have interest to us this morning. One is the word consist. In other words, in some of your Bibles, it will say, in Him all things consist. And the word consist is an interesting word. It means to be made up of, to be composed of, or to be contained in. It means to exist in or to be capable of existing together. In Him, all things consist. In other words, in Him, all things are contained. That there is, Paul was saying, look, there's nothing outside of Him. No matter how far you look, how high, how low, there is nothing that is outside of His control. There is nothing that is outside of His realm. What Paul was trying to help the Colossians to understand is, look, in Him consists everything, and everything consists in Him. And then the second word, English word, that some of your Bibles may have, is the word subsist. Subsist is different. It means to reside in, or to remain alive in. You understand this morning that we aren't just together with Christ, and we don't just aren't just contained in Him, but our life is in Him. We remain alive in Him. We reside in Him. Do you understand what Paul is trying to say here? Paul is trying to help this church to understand that everything consists. That is, everything is contained in Christ. Some of them have been looking at human religion or human wisdom. Some of them have been looking at the mystic religions. Some of them have been looking at the world that was around them and had begun to put their trust. They've begun to trade their trust. And Paul was saying, no, it's the supremacy of Christ. In Him you consist. In Him you subsist. In Him you reside. In Him you remain alive. He's saying, look, don't get outside of Christ. There's no need to get outside of Christ. Everything you need, everything you look for, everything you dream, everything that you need to make it through today, everything you need for success, and everything you need for your battle is in Him. Remain in Him. Live in Him. It's all in Him. In Him. The New American Standard Bible and the NIV both say, put it this way, in Him all things hold together. I like the way the Message renders this particular verse, verse 17. Listen to the way the Message says it. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this very moment. You understand this morning what that means? That means that there is nothing that is occurring in your life this morning that is outside of Him. There's nothing that you face that is outside of Him. There is no dilemma. There is no battle. There is no frustration. There is no relationship. There is no struggle that you face that is not outside. He holds it all together. Oh, but Pastor, my world is coming apart. Your world can't be coming apart. Why? Because He holds it all together. And if Christ holds it all together, how can it be coming apart? Right? Right up to this very moment, right up to right now, in this moment, right here where I am standing right now, He holds it all together. What did this say to the Colossian church? Remember now, due to the pressure of life, due to the impact of society, due to the confusion of religion, some of them have begun to trade their trust. They were giving in or giving up. In fact, many were probably desperately searching for some answers. Anybody here this morning that can identify? It seems like our world is desperately searching for answers, desperately looking for something. Then some thought they could find it outside of Christ. They thought they could find it in man's wisdom or society's solution or religion's formulas. And Paul says, oh no. Christ is supreme. Christ is above all things and before all things and the center of all things and the first place in all things. And therefore, Christ holds it all together. Do you understand what he's saying? What Paul is saying this morning is Christ has it all covered. He has it covered. fact, look to the lengths that Paul goes through. If you put it in the context of this whole passage, look at the lengths that Paul goes to. He wants them to be sure, be certain that there's absolutely nothing outside of him that he enumerates it. He says, creation, Christ has that covered. The heavens, Christ has that covered. The earth, Christ has that covered. The visible, Christ has that covered. The invisible, Christ has that covered. Thrones, Christ has that covered. Dominions, Christ has that covered. Rulers, Christ has that covered. Authorities, Christ has that covered. The church, Christ has that covered. Death itself, Christ has it covered. He has it covered. Remember last week I told you Paul couches this in language that the people of in Colossae would understand. He purposely seems to couch it in language, the same language that the world would have used to describe human wisdom. Paul is using it to describe Christ. Why? Because he wanted all of them to understand it's not through human intellect or human ability or human wisdom or human thought or human fight or human battle. It's in Christ that all things hold together. Paul is saying, look at what Christ has done. No human wisdom can do that. No human institution can do that. No human power can do that. No human entity can do that. But Christ has already accomplished it. Christ has already done it. Somebody say this morning, Christ has it covered. Christ has it covered. Christ has it all covered. Amen? See, when we bring that forward, when we bring it into our life, when we bring it into the 21st century, in August of 2013, what does that, what does that mean? What that means is Christ not only has it covered, Christ has you covered. Right? He doesn't just have it covered, he has James covered. Right? He doesn't just have it covered. He has Michael covered. He doesn't just have it covered. He has Jerry covered. Christ has it covered and Christ has you covered. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know my life. No, I don't know your life, but I know Christ has it covered. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through this week. No, I don't know what you've been through this week, but I know Christ has it covered. Pastor, you don't know what's ahead of me. I have no idea what's ahead of you, but I know that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He was yesterday. He is today. He will be forevermore, and he will have it covered. He has it covered. In fact, listen, you consist in him. You reside in him. You remain alive in him. Therefore, he has it covered. He holds it all together. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. If he has creation covered and heavens covered and earth covered and the visible covered and the invisible covered, the thrones and dominions and the rulers covered, if he has the church covered, even death itself, if he has it covered, then what is there in your life that he can't cover? He's got it covered. Let's see if we can make that practical. All this crazy stuff that is going on, and anybody but me recognize just how crazy our world is getting. There are fires in the Midwest and floods in the Southeast. In fact, we had another giant oak fall last night. Not last night, Friday night. Huge, huge tree. Completely healthy tree. Just topple and fall over because the yards up there are just so soaked, wet, just saturated all the way through. In fact, I had to repent. Because it fell in my neighbor's yard instead of mine. And I said, thank you, Lord. I've cleaned up three trees this summer already. Listen, fires, famine, floods, earthquakes, Christ holds it all together, my friend. Somebody said, it feels like this world is coming apart. Oh, no, my friend. Christ has it right in his hands. And as long as it's in his hand, it may get crazy. It may get strange. It may get all but odd. But Christ has it all covered. He has it covered. He has creation covered. He has the visible covered. What do you mean by that, Pastor? All the stuff. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. All the stuff. The stuff that the 24-hour news cycle continues to remind us and remind us and remind us. You understand, Christ has that stuff covered. Christ has the economy covered. Christ has the unemployment rate covered. Christ has the politics covered. Christ has the healthcare system covered. Christ has your budget covered. Christ has your business covered. Christ has your relationships covered. Christ has your marriage covered. Christ has your family covered. Christ has it covered. All the stuff that keeps you awake at night, Christ has it covered. All the stuff that occupies your mind during the day, Christ has it covered. That's the visible. And we're told in Colossians that Christ has it covered. Not only that, he also has all the invisible covered. All the adversaries of your soul. Those phrases, there's thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. When Paul uses those terms, you can find the same terminology in Ephesians 6. Paul is not talking about earthly authority. He's talking about spiritual authority. Spiritual dominion, spiritual rulers, spiritual thrones. What Paul wants you to understand is Christ has it covered. There is no power in heaven or hell or in earth that is outside of him. He has it covered. Listen to me this morning. All the tormentors of your mind, Christ has it covered. All the thieves of your peace, Christ has it covered. All the robbers of your rest, Christ has it covered. All the troublers of your trust, Christ has it covered. He has it covered. Pastor, I'm in a spiritual battle. I understand Christ has it covered. I'm in spiritual warfare. I understand Christ has it covered. Pastor, I lay awake at night. I understand. I do at times too, but I know Christ has it covered. He has it all covered. He has it covered. All the issues with the church, Christ has it covered. We are a part of a local body that I believe is the greatest church on earth. This is an incredible body of Christ. But the church as a whole has issues. Right? I mean, there's no need to deny it. The church. This church has some issues, right? I mean, leaders going crazy and just going nuts and some compromising their beliefs because of Supreme Court laws and so forth. And the church has some issues. And there are some that have given up on the church. They've given up on the church. And the church, they're calling it a post-Christian and a post-church society. Well, I don't know exactly what all they mean by those terms. But here's what I do know. Christ said that the church shall prevail, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. What I do know is this, that there is a church in the last days. There is an end time church that is a triumphant church, that is a holy church, that is a pure church, that is a spotless church, that is the bride of Christ. That tells me, Sylvia, that I don't understand what's going on right now, but I know Christ has it covered, my friend. And in the end, the church, the church will stand. The church will come through. Not the name on the sign or not the name on the website, but those that are in Christ, that consist in him and abide in him and remain in him and live in him. They will survive and triumph because Christ has it covered. That's good news because you are a part of that church. And you are connected to Christ. You are a part of that church. Christ has it covered. And he's got redemption covered too. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean by that is this. There is coming a day when he will set it all straight. He will set it all right. I do not begin to have all of the answers to all of the fairness questions. I don't begin to have all the answers to that. I don't begin to have all the answers to all the why questions. Why this? And why do some seem to prosper? Why do the evil seem to prosper? Why does it say? I don't have, but I know this. I know that the Bible tells me that in the end God will redeem. He will redeem. It means there's coming a day when he's going to set it all straight. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ has it covered. He has it covered. See, here's my whole sermon in one sentence this morning. Jesus has it all covered. You can trust him. And doing so empowers you to live in peace. That's a true statement, isn't it? That's a true statement. Christ has it covered. You can trust him. And when you do, there is peace. Now, here's the thing. That comes as news to some people. In fact, it may come as news to some of us. In fact, it may come to news as many of us. Many people feel like they hold it together. Right? Many people feel like they hold it together, that the world revolves around them, and if they aren't holding it together, and some have an egotistical thing like that, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just the normal, everyday person thing. Feels like they got to hold their life together. They got to keep it all in order and keep all the balls in the air, right, and keep all the plates twisting on, and they just feel like they're the one holding it together, and then others feel like they're the ones that have to hold it together. They may not feel like they're holding it together, but they feel like they have to, right? They just got to put one more ball in the air, spin one more plate on the top of the rod. They just got to do one more thing. And the fact is, Christ holds it all together. No matter how desperate or deep or dark it may look, no matter what the situation that you're in, Christ has it covered. And here's what I know. You can trust him. And when you trust him, you live in peace. Let me see if I can illustrate this from a very familiar Bible story. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Joshua, the book of Joshua. I want to show you just a few things, a couple or three things from this scripture. Now let me set up. We're gonna be in Joshua, the fifth chapter, but let me set up because the setup is important to what I want to show you. So once everybody gets to Joshua 5, then look at me for a moment. Let's just talk about this for a moment. You remember, just prior to this, all of the children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 days. They come up to the river Jordan, there's a few things that happen. The first thing that happens is, and we find this in Joshua, the first chapter, we find that Joshua is made the new leader. Now, how many of you want, now stop and think about that a moment. They've been following Moses all of this time, right? Moses is the man. I mean, Moses, you know, water comes out of the rock when Moses speaks, and he holds a rod out, you know, and the Red Sea parts. Moses is the man. How many of you want to be facing the biggest battle of your life and have a greenhorn at the lead? You understand what's going on here? Joshua is not proven. Now, I don't know about you, but I want a seasoned guy, right? And this has to have made some of them insecure, if not outright afraid. I mean, you can hear the whispering in the tents at night, right? What is God thinking, taking Moses at that time? And now we got this new leader, and who knows what he's going to do, right? In the second chapter, Joshua decides to send out some spies. Moses sent out some spies. Let's send out some spies, right? Sounds like a good idea. They send out some spies, but here's what happens. Read the story in Joshua 2. Joshua sends out spies, and you know what it does? It alerts Jericho. Now stop and think about it for a moment. The last thing you want to do is put the enemy on alert before you're about to go in. You've got to imagine that going through the camp that night, oh, that was a great idea, Joshua. Way to go, buddy. Put the enemy on alert. Let them know that we're coming. Read the story there, the story of Rahab and all, and they chased them. They looked. So now, not only do they have a new leader, but they have a new leader, and the enemy is on alert, right? You go to another chapter, and what you find is they miraculously cross the Jordan River. Remember the priest, they put the they put the Ark of the Covenant and they walk across and the river stops and they walk across, same kind of miracle that happened with Moses back. But the fallout of that is this, is that the Jericho is not just suspicious now. Jericho's army's on red alert, right? They're on DEFCON 5. I mean, they are on red alert. Every man is at his station. Every soldier has his sword. He has his spear. He has his shield. I mean, they are on DEFCON 5. And then God has them do something in chapter 4. They worship. They set up an altar and worship. And if things aren't bad enough, what that sends to Jericho, the message that sends is that they intend to occupy. They intend to stay. They intend to take over. They intend to make this land their land. And in the middle of that situation, God tells them to do the strangest thing. Look at it. Joshua 5, verse 2. And at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." Time out. Hold on. You understand what that means. In fact, the next few verses describe what that means. What that means is all the men of fighting age have never been circumcised. So here they are, right? They are camped out within earshot and eyeshot and maybe bowshot of Jericho. And God is telling them to put all the fighting men down for a few days. Hello? They have to be questioning Joshua now, right? Joshua, you better go pray again. You better get another plan. Because the plan to put all the fighting men in bed for a few days is not a good plan. In fact, we don't have any record of it. We have no idea if Joshua, what went on in Joshua's mind. But if I'm the leader, I'm thinking, God, you know, we were in the wilderness 40 years. We could have done this 6 months ago. Right? I mean, that sounds like a good plan, right? We could have done this, Ernest, when we were on that side of Jordan, right? If you're going to lay everybody up, then let's do it when we're out there, you know, when the manna's still coming, and right? Why now? Why do this now? Why put all the fighting men down now? Why make us vulnerable? Do you understand how vulnerable that has made them, all the fighting men? If the enemy gets a hold of this, they will wipe them out. Right? I mean, if it gets back to Jericho, that all of the fighting men can't fight, they will wipe them out. So what does Joshua do? Look at verse 3. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites. Wow. Do you see what? Joshua had all of the questions you and I just had, but he obeyed God anyway. He trusted God anyway. There is no way this made sense to Joshua's leader's mind. There's no way this made sense to Joshua in any way. This just does not make sense. But Joshua, listen, refused to trade his trust. He refused to trade his trust for his wisdom. He refused to trade his trust in God for his strategy. He refused to trade his trust in God for his ability. He refused to trade his trust in God. Joshua made flint knives and obeyed. Not only did Joshua do that, but every man of fighting age obeyed as well. It wasn't just Joshua. Every man was circumcised. Every man was laid up, which meant, Casey Lynn, Israel was completely vulnerable. Listen to me. You won't find this in a prosperity message. But God will make you vulnerable sometimes because it's good for your trust. He will. Mike, he will require you. He will require you to put it all on the line. He might just require you to donate a kidney to somebody else. He might just require you to be out of work for 3 solid months with no source of income. He might, because it's good for your trust. Right? It's good for your trust. That's not gonna sell books. Nobody's gonna have a conference built around that idea, right? Let me tell you what I know. I know more than anything else, God wants you to have trust in Him, and sometimes He will make you vulnerable because it's good for your trust. It's good for my trust. He may require you to leave home and to move 6 hours away and put you for 11 years in a situation. Generally, He may put you in a situation that'll try every bit of your faith, everything within you. He may put you in a situation where you do not understand at all what God is doing. Why? Because it's good for your trust. It's good for your trust. And in that moment, we have to decide if we're going to trade our trust for our wisdom and our understanding and our thought, or are we going to trust Him because Christ has it covered. And here's what I guarantee you. Here's what I guarantee you. In that moment, if you trade your trust for your understanding of the situation, you will never have peace. But if you will trust Him, there's a peace that comes in that. How you know that, Pastor? Look at what it says. What did God do? Look at Joshua 5, 13 and 14. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And he said, "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Do you understand what happens? God commanded, Joshua trusted, and God covered. Oh, you didn't even hear me. God commanded, Joshua trusted, and God covered. God said, Joshua said, "Are you here? Are you for us? Are you for our enemies?" And he said, "I'm neither one. I'm here to take over. I'm not taking sides. I'm in charge. I'm in control. I've got it covered. I've got it covered." That's what he's saying. Oh my goodness, do you understand the peace and the confidence and the hope and the rest and the joy that there comes when Joshua looks up and he sees what many of us may be the pre-incarnate Jesus. Now that's a whole other idea and thought that we'll have to talk about another time. The point was, God was there. And God, when Joshua was able to look up, and remember, the enemy is on red alert. The army is laid up in the bed. Only Joshua and Caleb, two old men are the only ones that can fight. But now Caleb proved he could hold his own, right? Old or not. And the rest of everybody was laid up. Can you imagine what it meant to Joshua when he knew he had obeyed God and he had trusted God anyway. And he looks over and there is the angel of the Lord that says, Joshua, because you obeyed, because you didn't trust in yourself, because you didn't trust in your strategy, because you didn't trust in your ability, because you obeyed me even when it didn't make sense, because you stood as a leader even when the people may not have understood, because the soldiers themselves submitted to you and did what I commanded, I want you to know, Joshua, I've got it all covered, Joshua. I've got it covered. Joshua, I know Jericho's on red alert. I've got it covered. Joshua, I know they sent out spies looking to see if they could find your spies. I've got it covered. Joshua, I know that your army is laid up. I've got it covered, Joshua. Joshua, I know that any minute they could swoop down here and wipe you out. But I want you to know, Joshua, I've got it covered. I've got it covered. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying to you this morning is that in your moment of trial, when you are camped out outside of the walls of the biggest obstacle that you have ever faced in your life, in that moment, can I encourage you to trust Him, to listen to Him, to obey Him? And when you do, you will know that He has it covered, my friend. He has it covered. The temptation, Robin, is to do what I think is best in that moment. What I think is best in that moment is, let's delay this, right? Someone wrote, delayed obedience is disobedience. And it is. It is. Now, if you don't think it is, try this on. EJ, go make up your bed. I will tomorrow. That's not obedience, right? That's disobedience. Oh, but when we obey Him, when we trust Him, there is a peace that comes. When I trust Him to make the decisions about my relationships, When I trust Him and He intervenes and maybe He blows up my plan. Anybody but me ever had God blow up your plan? It just seems like something, kaboosh, you know, just. But I trust Him. And when you trust Him, there's a peace that comes in that. There's a hope that comes in that. There's a confidence that comes in that you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. I'll guarantee you this, from that day forward, for the rest of his life, Joshua and every fighting man remembered that event camped outside of Jericho. From then on, there was no enemy that looked as bad. There were no walls that looked as high. There was no struggle that looked as difficult. Why? Because they had already made themselves vulnerable by trusting God. And notice the result. Notice what happens. Look at verse 14 and 15. Then Joshua fell face down in the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. The enemy's on red alert. No doubt through the camp, there's at least some misunderstanding, if not some disgruntled. You know why? Listen to me. This is not just about leadership. This is about life. When you trust God, there are going to be people that don't understand. Right? When you trust God, there's going to be people that don't go along with it. When you raise your children for Christ, there are going to be people that question it. When you set a standard and say, my child will do this or won't do that, regardless of what the world is saying, there's going to be some rumbling in the camp. Here's Joshua. The enemy is on red alert. There's rumbling in the camp. The army is laid up, can't fight are sitting ducks. And Joshua is worshiping. Oh, Joshua pulls his shoes off and he bows down to the ground. And all of that is going on in the world around him. And Joshua is before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is worshiping. Joshua is at peace and at hope and at rest. And that day, it hasn't changed anything out there. But inside of Joshua, he's stronger than he's ever been. He's more hopeful than he's ever been. He's more secure than he's ever been. And he's more at peace than he's ever been. Why? Because he knows Christ has it covered. And this morning I want you to know that. I want you to know that Christ has it covered. Jesus has it all covered. You can trust him. In doing so, empowers you to live in peace. Pastor, what do we do with that? I want to give you just one thing to think about this morning as I try to finish this up. I have, for the past 2 weeks, I have tied both the message about centered and the message about Christ being first place. I've tied both of them to the idea of Sabbath. Sabbath is, put in a nutshell, Sabbath is taking one day out of seven, where you recenter yourself on Christ, where you make him first place, and where you are reassured that he has it covered. And I've connected it. I've done that because while on my sabbatical, while on my time away, the Lord showed me two things about Sabbath that are relevant this morning. He showed me a lot, but two things I'll share with you. One is this. The first one is the most alarming to me, and ultimately the most transforming, and it's this. That I, Glenn, as your pastor, as a husband, that I routinely and habitually was violating Sabbath. Is that okay if I just be that transparent? And the result was that I was just about exhausted. I was just about out. Why? Because God designed us to work that way. He designed us to work for 6 days and to rest and honor and recenter and refocus on him one day. And I was violating that. He showed me that during my sabbatical. I got away enough to realize I wasn't getting away enough. And I was just, and some of you saw it. Some of you knew it. And thank you for being so kind to me. Second thing that he showed me is this, and this alarmed me greatly, is that many of you are doing the same thing. Is that okay? Many of you are doing the same thing. And don't misunderstand this is not about church attendance, although that's part of it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about regular seasons in your life when you stop everything else and you just focus on him. Mark Buchanan says this story of Joshua is a lot like Sabbath. It didn't make sense to stop. They didn't have time to stop. Right? The world's wisdom says don't stop. I've got too many things to do. I've got too much on my agenda. I've got too much going on. The plates will fall. The balls will fall. The enemy's on red alert. The army's hold up if me and Caleb don't stand in, right? Sabbath says, God, you've got it covered. And today, I'm just going to worship you. Today, I'm just going to adore you. Today, I'm just going to honor you. Today, I'm going to recenter my life and refocus my life and make sure you are first place, that you are highest in authority, that you are the highest, Lord, in influence in my today, Lord, because I want to. You understand, don't you? I don't know about your... Well, I do know about your life. I lived... We all live in the same world, and I worked in the secular world for a long... And I do understand. I know this. I know that many of you cannot face tomorrow unless you know Christ has it covered. I know that. I know that. And I know this. If you will one day out of seven, for us that's Sunday. That's just the Christian 21st century, that's Sunday. And what are you saying, Pat? I'm saying today, refocus on him, recenter on him. Put Jesus at the center of it all. Put him first place. When you do, the realization that he has it covered will not only be today, but it'll carry you through the week. And in the middle of your next week, when your boss is screaming, and when the bills are coming, and when the collectors are after you, I'm not saying God's going to just wipe all of that. I am saying in the middle of it, you can still live in peace because Christ has it covered. He has it covered. May I challenge you this morning? May I challenge you this morning? Each week, find a day where it's just as much about him as you can possibly make it. And each day, find a time where you make it all about him. And I'm telling you, you can live knowing Jesus has it covered. And you can live in the peace and the strength of that. Amen? Amen means let it be so. Amen? Amen. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you. God bless you.